Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from the tail end of Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, always inspired by the movie in question. So let's just do that right here. What is the movie in question?
Let's do that.
We're talking about Snowpiercer this week. Snowpiercer, 2014. The food is terrible on this train movie. Stay out of the dining cart thriller.
Well, stay out of the tail end.
Don't eat the Jell-O.
Yeah. Never eat the Jell-O.
Take the Jell-O with the pudding pops and shake them in the mouth.
Yeah. Thank you, Max, because, you know, that's perfectly placed, I would say, right? Are you up on current events?
Okay. Maybe not.
Let's leave it right there. So here we are, Q Filmcast, talking about Snowpiercer. So if you've seen that film, Snowpiercer, keep listening. See if you agree or disagree with our take on it. Or if not, well, hey, no problem. You just keep listening to see if it's something that you may want to queue up yourself.
Right.
And that's the way the game is played, Max.
You're right.
It's been a while since we've stated that and stressed that.
I think they know.
You think they know?
Should we stress it again that you should have listened last week to know we're going to watch this week?
And then play along.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that's actually how the game is played.
Or you can just pause it right now and watch Snowpiercer, and then
I'll tell you what.
Pick up.
Do that. Holy Stop. Moly, you can do it. Press pause. Come back. Here. You back? Wow. Here we go. Okay, so let's get into introductions. Obviously, once more, I'm Michael, your host. Along with, to my left, we're talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Hard Sub Savage. I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Yeah, how are you?
I had a pretty good week. What about you?
Not bad. Not bad.
I had a good week. You want to know why?
Not really, but I'll ask. Go ahead.
I want to know. Edge of my seat.
Well, let me tell you why I had a great week. The more I think about it, it was fantastic. Would you like to know why?
I'm dying.
I said edge of my seat.
He's edge of his seat.
Well, first of all, I didn't have my arm destroyed by frostbite.
That's good.
Yeah.
It was destroyed by a hammer.
That's always a plus.
Well, it was frozen off.
Maybe not your arm.
It was utter useless. frostbite. I did not have anyone put a shoe on my head. No one put a shoe on my head this week.
That's not the worst thing that could happen.
No, and I didn't have to eat a tasty baby.
Oh, wow.
That's a spoiler.
Yeah. So thank you for asking, Savage. I had a great week.
You're welcome.
Anytime you can say those three things in synchronicity, it's not bad.
That's not a bad week.
It's
in
not bad.
Synchronicity.
And let's go to your left. And we're talking about the patron saint of quality outerwear. Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. You know, quality
I'm having a pretty good week, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't have to eat any babies.
We established that.
I didn't have to plan an escape of 100 people.
Save it for the film, man. Right. You sound like you had a pretty good week just like me. Yeah.
You weren't bad.
But you're talking about high-quality outerwear. This is a film where you certainly would need something like that, too, you know.
Mm.
Snow piercer, snowy cold. Big jackets.
Never.
Fur. Yeah.
Sure. I didn't see any real quality, I wouldn't say. Maybe the guy's suit. That was a really nice suit.
Tilda Swinton had a nice fur jacket.
Okay.
Yeah, she had some good stuff.
Is a yellow blazer considered high quality outerwear?
I'd have to see it.
That was some
hot. It was yellow.
Yeah. What about you, Max Gumbo Johnson?
The film, right?
No, but I'd have to, like, in there.
All right, and so to your left, we're talking about Max Gumbo Johnson. He's here every week. This is no different. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
We've
established how great my week really was.
Oh, come on. Because of the things that didn't happen to you?
I could get into the things that did happen to me.
Well, let's not do that. Let's move along.
It looks like you got two arms. How are you supposed to lead us?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to hold a woman with only one arm, too.
I didn't get any messages in my protein block, so I'm doing good.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So it looks like we're all pretty much doing well. One more time. The greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers. How are you doing over there?
Miserable.
Hanging out in his producing cube. Miserable, you say?
Right. I'm cold.
Oh, he did have someone put a shoe on his head.
Ah, yeah.
all week long, every day, a different person, a different shoe. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry,
well,
buddy.
Well, they tied the shoelaces around my neck.
It was funny at the time. You should have seen it. I got some pictures.
Anyways, yeah, here we all are. The Q Filmcast guys, always good to see you guys once more. Snowpiercer 2014. Ooh, a fresh one.
2014.
Was it 2014 or 2013?
2014.
You sure?
2013. Oh, 2013. Must have been the end of 2013. Yeah, queued up by the producer. So there's the selection right there. And let's talk about how to keep up with this real quick before we get into the film. You know, we do this every week. And any way you want to. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google+, YouTube channel. Go there for sure.
All that stuff.
But why would you, Savage, when you can just go to thecufilmcast.net. Absolutely, that's it.
Yeah. You could take a train there.
You could take a train there. I don't know. Could you? In your brain? I don't know.
The brain train.
The brain train, yeah.
In my brain.
Yeah.
Is Tom Hanks on that?
No. Definitely go there at qfilmcast.net. We love feedback. We love to hear from you. You can leave a review for this film, or any film for that matter. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Snowpiercer 2014. All right, guys, you ready to get into this film?
Sure.
Now that all the how you doings, handshakes, and all that stuff are out of the way.
Yeah, all the formalities.
Formalities, yeah. So let's get into this one. Snowpiercer 2013. Let me correct myself.
13.
Queued up by the producer. And let's just stop there one more time. See how I kind of played that back?
I got it.
Producer, you queued this. Why is that? Why are we watching this film tonight per your...
Explain yourself.
Basically.
Well, I saw this trailer, and I thought the movie looked really cool, so I wanted to watch it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Did you see the poster with the guy?
Captain America?
Yeah. That's the guy.
Hey, did you see that it was shown at the Bell Court when it came out, and you could have gone and seen it then?
And I didn't get a
chance. Didn't have time.
Yeah, I remember, Max.
I was so busy.
You actually asked me to come see this with you as well.
I did, and I went to friggin' see it.
I remember
on the big screen.
Max always asks everybody to see everything, and we never do.
I do.
We're never bad people.
And nobody ever goes with
me. Oh, that's a bunch of crap. Savage and I just went and seen Interstellar with you.
Yeah.
That's true.
For the trailer. We all saw Birdman.
We all saw Birdman together.
I saw Birdman with you.
I went and seen the Skeleton Twins with you.
My shame. I am so sorry.
Thank you. Get to the back with the steerage, okay? Let's talk a bit about this film. We're talking about the film that you saw by yourself, without us. Adam wouldn't go. Snowpiercer. Did you know this was directed by, I just want to call myself this, June Ho Bong?
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
June Ho Bong.
June Ho Bong. Directed The Host and Mother. Anybody see these films?
Oh, Adam loves
The Host. And Memories of a Murder.
Did not like The Host. Totally overrated movie.
Okay. So and that's the monster movie, I think, from like 2004 or something like that.
Completely overrated.
2006,
with the tentacles. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, did not like that movie.
You may not like the movie. You may have seen the movie, but I think a lot of people remember the box or the cover art for it.
The box?
The box. The cover art. The Host.
It's a giant tentacle holding a girl or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very kind of very well-known piece of art.
That was the best part
of
the movie.
I thought we were talking about the Cameron Diaz movie.
This movie here, Snowpiercer, stars Chris Evans, who's Captain America. Oh, Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Your Human go-to Torch. Superhero. Yeah. Oh, he's the Human Torch, right?
And Fantastic Four. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just forget about that Fantastic Four thing.
I think the marquee player in this one tonight is Tilda Swinton. We know her from a great film that I thought was vastly underrated. Man, I loved Only Lovers Left Alive, which, by the way, Max, I went and saw that with you.
You did at the
Belcourt. My God. I see all kinds of movies with you.
I'm taken aback.
You guys are buddies.
I like that one a lot. Michael Clayton, Moonrise Kingdom. You probably enjoyed that film.
Love
Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah. Jamie Bell. Ironically enough, Billy Elliot.
Whoa.
He danced all over this film, didn't he? Yeah.
He did.
No, he didn't. so that's the film tonight.
Sort of.
What about John Hurt and Ed Harris?
Okay, John Hurt and Ed Harris. Yeah, of course. What am I saying?
The king of dystopia, Mr. John Hurt himself.
Yeah, he's like a dystopia film. Call Up John, one of those.
Really?
This inspired our top three, as they all do. We talked about this earlier. Sure. These films inspire top three that we get to at the end of each episode. Here is no different. We're talking about top three scenes on a train.
Yeah.
Subways count.
Okay. Oh, they do?
I think I feel something coming here.
Nobody told me subways counted.
I did, too.
I'm not in that train coming.
I believe I actually texted it twice, but...
mm-hmm.
Top three scenes on a train. So that should be fun. Anything on a rail. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Anything on a rail, man. Obviously, because that's where this film takes place almost in its entirety. Before we do that, let's get into a little bit of what the critics thought of this film. What do you think?
All right.
Sure. IMDb, let's do this. Max Gumbo Johnson, Snowpiercer, 2013. What did IMDb give this film?
IMDb, I'll go 7.8.
A little high, Max.
A little high, really?
7.0.
Wow. I'm a little shocked.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
I am too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about, I get Michael's feeling on the movie.
No, I'm just reading the notes here.
Right.
How about Hearts Up Savage?
Yeah.
I'm going to go straight to you, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to stop off at your station so you can tell me, critics-wise, on Rotten Tomatoes. No, it's a percentage.
All right, it's a percentage. Savage. We have to remind you every week.
Yeah.
Right.
What percentage-wise did the critics give this film?
68.
95% from the critics.
What?
Hells to the yeah.
Yeah. Matthew St. Hoodie, users on Rotten Tomatoes.
We're talking about the same film, right?
We're going to talk about that in a minute. Users on Rotten Tomatoes, what did they give this film?
86.
74. But I think after so all weird. The fanboys and all the comic book nerds, if you took those out of the equation, what would it be, you think? 74%. And let's get into this film. Let's talk a little bit about what this film is. Here's what you have. Snowpiercer 2013. Director Bong Joon-ho. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
Bong Joon-ho, man. Makes his English language debut with this dystopian sci-fi thriller based off the French novel series La Transpirance.
Love it.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce
it. You speak
it.
So well.
Ooh la la.
No, it's La Transpirance. I don't know. Set in the aftermath of a failed global warming experiment that ushered in the dawn of a new ice age, as a perpetual motion engine keeps a super-powered locomotive speeding around the planet, the impoverished lower classes occupy the rear cars, while the privileged upper classes are pampered in the front. The fragile balance of power between the two begin to shift, however, when an enigmatic message sparks a revolt that cannot be quelled. The film stars Luke Evans, Song Kang-ho, Jamie Bell, John Hurt, Ed Harris, and a spasmatic Tilda Swinton as Mason, the train's main disher of dirty deeds. Done dirt cheap, no doubt about it. So there you go. Snowpiercer 2014, there's a little taste of it. We know what the critics thought. We know who queued it up, producer. So let's take a break here, listen to a trailer. Come on back and talk a bit more about this film, give some details, and get into our reviews. And here you go.
This chaos. 1,000 people in an iron box. 18 years I've hated a train. 18 years I've waited for this moment. This is your world. The train saved humanity.
The engine lasts forever.
The population must always be kept in balance.
I said sit down.
Passengers, eternal order flows from the sacred engine. We must occupy our preordained position. I belong to the front. You belong to the tail. Know your place. Keep your place.
Those bastards in the front think they own us.
We'll be different when we get there.
What you say?
We take the engine. And we control the world.
When is the time?
Soon.
Q Filmcast, there you go. That's Snowpiercer 2013, the film we're talking about tonight. And let's get into this, guys. Let's do a little bit of a... Max, you know what's coming up here.
Did you know?
I know.
Well, I want to know.
We're talking
Inquiring
about...
Inquiring minds want to know.
Facts,
did
figures.
Did you know?
Hoodie, we're talking about trivia about the film.
Yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite part of the show.
Is it really? I know it's Savage's favorite part, so let's get into it.
Yeah.
But I'd like it more than Savage.
Did you know? I think you did, because we already mentioned it. This is Joon-ho Bong's first English film.
Yeah, I knew that.
Adam said that.
Yeah. Listen to this one, producer. You might find this intriguing. Did you know that Joon-bo Hong explained that the protein block from the movie was made by combining seaweed, tangle, sugar, and gelatin? What?
Wow. Sounds disgusting.
Is that, what is tangle?
Sounds tasty.
It's Korean tang.
Is that what... It's Korean tang.
That'd be more creative.
Is that what Korean astronauts took into space?
Yeah, oh. They took that to the moon, right?
It says here it was made with seaweed, tangle, sugar, and gelatin.
Korean tang.
I'm not hating that.
Yeah. No.
It looked gross.
I think it was made with cockroaches. But did you know? Hoodie, did you know that Edgar, played by Jamie Bell, was named after director... Hold on to your happy hat, producer Edgar Wright.
Oh, wow.
What?
How is that possible? Is that old?
I don't know. I don't even know who that is.
Well,
what?
He did the Cornetto trilogy and stuff like that. But
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Hot Fuzz.
He's doing Ant-Man. Well, he was doing Ant-Man. So much for that.
Well, let's get into some more of this stuff. Did you know that there was no other light than the torch itself when the torchlight scene was filmed?
It was pretty.
Yeah, it was a good looking scene.
Yeah.
Did you know that Tilda Swinton Had to spend more than 2 hours for costumes and makeup. Really? All she has bad teeth,
yeah,
and bad hair.
Oh,
2 hours.
Way more than that.
I got a thing about
that.
What
else did she have?
I mean, it would seem to say 2 hours.
Costume,
the makeup?
Costume, nothing. 2 hours.
I'm not saying it was bad. It just seemed like a 30-minute job to me.
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
I'm with you.
Maybe it's slow.
We're guys, though. You know.
Yeah, we are. Hey, producer, did you know that Jake Gyllenhaal and Dustin Hoffman auditioned for Snowpiercer but failed because of scheduling?
I'm glad they did.
Dustin Hoffman?
The character of Mason, who played by Tilson, was originally a male character.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were going to do that, and then Dustin Hoffman flaked out, so now you had her, and they changed it to female. Did you know that Jake Gyllenhaal, though, yeah, like I just said, he was going to be the main lead? I can see that.
That would have been awesome.
I mean, I can
been awful.
I can see it.
Yeah, I think Evans did a good job, though.
Yeah. He already did a train movie.
Yeah, he already done a train movie, yeah.
All right, so good. There you go. There's a little bit of Did You Know facts and figures about the film. Let's talk about what we thought. We know what the critics thought. We know what the film is. We know a little bit about the film.
Yes.
Let's get into this. What did we think of this one? And, you know, Max, we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down here.
So stupid.
It's stupid. Savage. God, it's dumb.
It's dumb.
What are we using tonight, producer? You tell us.
Protein bars.
Protein blocks.
Whatever.
Protein bars. That's like those energy
like
bars.
Granola. That's what I have for lunch every
day.
We
have those now. And I'm not hating them.
Protein bars don't sound bad. I like protein bars. Yeah. I eat them often.
Yeah, they give me energy when I'm trying to climb mountains.
5 hours.
Yeah, protein blocks. And if you've seen this film, you know that's there were a lot of them, and I didn't want one of them.
You're right.
1 to 10 protein blocks. So let's get into this, producer. Why don't you go first? 1 to 10, Snowpiercer, 2013.
When I saw the trailer, I wanted to see this movie so bad. I finally got to see it. I was excited, and just didn't capture that feeling I wanted it to capture.
Your childhood imagination.
Yes. So I'm only going to go 7 on this for it.
Well, it's still up there.
It's up there, but I wanted more.
You wanted more. Right. Okay. I thought you were going to say like 5. Oh, 7. Okay, so there's more that you liked about it than you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not a 10. You were expecting this to be a champion film for you. This is like 10. You had that potential, you thought, and it failed on that term. Okay, but still 7.
Sadly.
Let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie. Straight to you, man. You're second here. What you going to give? 1 to 10 protein bars for Snowpiercer.
I'm still kind of up in the air. I would have liked to have seen a more gritty lead than Chris Evans. I'm not a big fan of him, and I think that he really just killed this movie. I think the story was okay. It wasn't played out to its potential. I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay. 6 protein blocks, not bars.
Blocks.
When I think of protein blocks, I think of, Okay, anyways, Max Gumbo Johnson.
I don't know what you think of.
I don't know. I had a runaway train. I had a thought. I just had a thought that ran away from me. It went off the rails. Right. It was on 2 wheels. I pulled it back down. I don't know.
Did it see a polar bear?
Is that a clue?
Only at the end. Max Gumbo Johnson, you know the routine. 1 to 10 protein bars. What are you going to give?
I'm torn. The first time I saw this, I saw it at the Belcourt when it came out, and the timing on it, the first time I saw it was really well done. It seemed a lot better. Revisiting it, it seemed a lot more rushed. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And no pun intended. I'm going to have to go 6 on it with
six.
With this one. Yeah. I'm going to have to go 6. Six protein bars.
Protein
blocks.
Blocks. Make sure you say it properly.
Blocks, not bars.
Blocks, people.
Yeah, bars are tasty. Blocks are not. Savage, hard sub Savage.
Yeah.
I'll round this one out so you go before me. Yeah. And we're talking about Snowpiercer. Go.
Yeah, I like, on the surface, this is the type of movie that I like. It's visual, it's post-apocalyptic, it's big themed, it's big. I like big things.
Big, beautiful things, you often say.
Yeah, well, I like big, dirty things, too. It's, but there's something inherently missing in this, and I've got to go with a 6 as well.
Okay, so 6, 6, 7, and 6? 6, 6, 6, 7. That's what we have, right?
Yeah.
So it's up to me. I'm just going to get in here and get my crap out of the way.
Okay, already guessing you hate this movie with a passion.
Well, let me just say here, producer, let me just say, you know, I like the initial handshake of this film, the whole, hello, I'm Snowpiercer, nice to meet you kind of thing, you know? You know what I'm
hello,
talking
Michael,
about?
I'm Snowpiercer.
Yeah, hey, nice to meet you too. What you got? Let's get on with it. Because when you first meet this movie, you're given such an idiotic and utterly absurd premise to deal with. It's truly completely asinine.
Yes.
I mean, a train that's been traveling for 18 years with the last of humanity on it, plowing through glaciers. It's nonsense. Yeah. It's utter nonsense.
Yeah. You almost have to forgive it automatically.
Everything. Everything. Right. You just have to forgive everything. It's so over the top. Yeah. But That's still okay. I think that's still okay. You're asking me to put down all reality and go into the surreal.
You're so forgiving.
I can dig that. You want me to go with the surreal? I've done that many times. You know, gotcha. 300, Watchmen, Sin City. I get the graphic novel format, the idea. Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
That just seems a little harsh to me.
What?
I get the graphic novel format. That seems really harsh.
Why does that seem harsh?
Well, 300 was way better than this one. Even Watchmen was better than this one. Sin City was great.
Well, what I'm saying is, I understand.
But this is a graphic novel as well.
I get that, but that doesn't lump it into like.
From Hell was great.
Wait a second here, guys. What I'm saying is, I get the idea that this is a graphic novel and that I have to put down real and go into the surreal. I understand that, okay? I get the backdrop here. I also, you know, like the in the train thing, you know, everybody's pinned down. You got to go through each other. There's no way out, just through each other. I understand that. It's all for effect, the backdrop. I also get what the film wants you to think about. I like that. Tyranny, struggle against, you know, elitist suppressors, all right. That. I'm totally on board. But this film is such garbage. It's just such utter, unrelenting garbage. It's full of so many just becauses, so what's, and I don't cares that you just can't get out from under it. Right. If you're asking me, and I'm just going to say it like this, if you're asking me to leave my reality, which these movies do, that's great, but you still have to abide by the rules of your reality.
Right.
And this film adheres to nothing. They just do whatever they want. With empty-headed recklessness, with no sense of cohesion. It's an absolute mess.
Sounds like my Saturday night.
It does, you know? I mean, the movie's like, hey, let's impale a bad guy in this scene. If we need him later, no big thing. And hey, let's hide bullets and Easter eggs. Why? Well, it doesn't matter. It'll be awesome. So I have so many of these idiotic conveniences that I don't even know where to begin.
Right.
It's so empty-headed and dull from its Xbox-inspired effects to its endless parade of boxcars, one to the next. Seriously, I was waiting for the one with alligators in it where they had to jump across and not get eaten. And the storytelling is so awful.
Right.
They would stop, literally, in this movie, sit you down, literally in a classroom, and force feed these quick little segments of idiotic enlightenment.
I hated that.
Just so they could get on with their crap movie.
Sure.
There's very little here that should inspire anyone, in my opinion, unless you've never played a video game before. But these dumb boxcars, it was like it played out like the next level. Here's the next level. The acting is ham-fisted. Forced on you like a brute. The character, who cares? Who cares about the characters? By the time we get the little boy at the end, which, by the way, how convenient is that? A perfectly engineered train that can stay on the rails and blast through glaciers for 18 years somehow needs a child's hand? Oh, how convenient.
Right.
I guess I needed to be weepy-eyed, but the movie is brainless nonsense to me. I did like the first 15 minutes, and Chris Evans does have some presence.
Nope.
To me, he did.
Nope.
Not enough to pull past day. I'm really between a 2 and a 3.
Wow.
I'm going to be gracious and give it a
2 and a 3.
It's such garbage, in my opinion. I'm going to go 3.
Yeah,
I'm done.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to direct traffic, and I'm going to jump in here and there. But didn't like this film that much.
I got that from you.
You know how
I really did.
When I really don't like a film, I get a little charismatic.
Right.
Charismatic.
I want to.
Did you jump up and dance because you hated it so much?
Well, I tell you, I'm not going to go 2 because it's not Ichi the Killer.
Oh.
That makes it a 3.
It's no Devil's Double.
You just got a problem with Asians.
Well, the ones that make films, I do. Like, apparently.
Oh, no.
He brought it up.
That's not cool.
Oh, that's not cool, man. All right, so what do we usually do here? Don't we usually go around the table and
we'll go back to Adam.
Yeah, Adam, I'm sorry. I had to get mine out of the way. I'm done. We're talking about Snowpiercer 2013. Didn't like the film, man. So, go ahead. What you got?
Reboot.
I like the whole concept of trying to get from point A to point B, trying to go through all these...
Guys with hatchets.
Yeah, guys with hatchets. I did want more violence, honestly. I wanted more armies to go through, but it is a train, so you're kind of
limited
on all that stuff. There are a lot of things I thought about, you know, like where's the cow train, where's the chicken train, where's all these
the logic,
the logic on this.
You
really have to suspend all disbelief on this. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I just wanted more action than story, I think.
Well, this should have been the film for you.
Yeah. There wasn't enough action for me.
Right.
Not enough action.
Okay, well, we'll get into that. The scenes, you know, I want you to tell me. Yeah, there were times where it's like, really, you want me to sit here? I felt like I was waiting for a train, for crying out loud. It's classroom time. Hoodie, wait, we went to Max next.
Yeah. Max, are you going to me next?
Well, didn't we?
I don't care. I'll go.
No, Max, yeah. Go ahead, Gumbo. What you got for
Max? Go.
This film? I think we're going to butt heads here, but go ahead.
Well, like I said earlier, I saw this when it came out. I saw the theater, and I really enjoyed it. I think it was the theater experience and the escapism of it that
the
I
big
really, yeah, you get the you get the big picture and you get on the big screen. It's really
the big sound.
Bombastic, yeah. and you get kind of swept away in the action and everything that's going on.
Yeah,
watching it this time, a lot of that was taken away from me. I still enjoyed it to a certain extent. I had a lot of problems with the script. I had a lot of problems with the logic of the film. I mean, and I'm with Michael.
Is it the script or the story?
It's the script.
Okay.
It's the story itself is like, okay, this is, you've got to forgive certain
right,
things.
This is
the story. This is what you've got to go
Humanity
with.
On a train.
Yeah. Right. But the pacing of it, the first time I saw it was really good. The pacing of it, the second time I saw it, not so good. I did not enjoy the
slowed
pace.
Down.
No, it sped up.
Oh.
It sped up. The first time I saw it, I was like, you sort of got the characters' quandaries, their mission. They were stuck here. They were
right.
This, and it seemed like it took its time a little more. Second time watching it, it seemed like it was just so forced and fed up, and
right.
and just like, okay, we're getting into the action right,
right.
now.
Right.
5 minutes in, boom, here we go. And I didn't like that. At all. I wanted a little more development in this thing. I wanted to know a little bit more about how all this stuff happened. And like I said, the first time I saw it, you come up with those questions. Well, how are they getting the beef? How are these people getting fish? How are they getting
right.
eggs? How are they... And a lot of that is explained during the movie to a certain extent,
right.
but not fully enough.
Yeah, but having them go through like the chicken car and the beef car,
yeah, I don't want
that would be kind of lame.
I don't want to
kind of boring.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not asking them to see all that, but I'd like a little better explanation of how are they raising cows? How are they doing some of this stuff? They semi-explain some of that stuff, not enough to really satisfy me.
Yeah.
So I have to knock it down a couple of notches from my initial impression, which. When I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then I saw it again. I was like, it's not that awesome.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
Some it was
movies
enjoyable.
Will do that. Yeah.
It was enjoyable. I enjoyed it for what it was, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
Yeah. Well, hearts
there
upset. Was
there were still some standout
yeah.
action
yeah.
scenes in this movie, though.
There were a
they
couple.
Were great.
There were a couple. You know, before we get over to Hoodie, I actually wrote these cars down as I watched it, tried to watch it a second time. Greenhouse car, aquarium car, sushi car, school car. Pool car, sauna car, disco car, chrono car, hair salon car, fancy restaurant car.
Yeah. Oh, I like the fancy restaurant.
Yeah. It was just long.
I like yeah. sushi car. I'm kind of hungry.
I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about the school car
yeah.
scene. But
yeah.
Hoodie, let's talk a little bit about, I think you went six here. What you got?
Chris Evans equals pass. For me.
Really?
I can't stand the guy.
I thought he had an okay presence
no,
here.
No, I really think that this role, there's really not a lot that could have saved this movie. And you guys are talking about the whole premise. Honestly, there's really no difference than having the end of the world and everybody gets into a train and that saves him, and the end of the world and everybody gets into a spaceship and that saves them. That's basically spaceship
yeah.
equals train in this movie.
Okay.
So
yeah.
you can
You're
kind
right.
of forgive it for that little bit. And there's one guy that, of course, you know, figures it all out ahead of time and makes that happen. The thing that I really just hated was just, honestly, Chris Evans. I can't stand
What? Well, you keep saying this, so explain to me.
What don't you like about him? I just don't like him
you
as
don't
an
like
actor.
His face.
I don't like his face. And honestly, I don't like Hugh Jackman, but I really saw this as like a Hugh Jackman movie. I wanted somebody yeah. that had like wrinkles when they squinted. I wanted somebody yeah. that had a little white in their beard.
A little bit of baby meat coming out the corner of his mouth.
Not so much baby meat as maybe just like some spit. I just wanted somebody that had been there a long time and was really just like absolutely. I mean, he said 17 years outside, 17 years inside, which is cute. That's fine. Past that, there's a lot of just convenience through the whole movie.
Oh, my God.
And the convenience is really just ticked. Really, I just ticked it away by like, oh, look out the window now. We're going to see this
yes,
happening.
Yes, the Frozen Seven.
Look out the window now. We're going to see this happening. I've been watching a plane. Every time we pass at this particular moment in time
yes.
around the world,
I wrote
I've
that
been,
down.
I've been sitting at this window. Yeah. There's the plane.
It got to the point of the ridiculous that, became that, ridiculous.
That yeah. really was. Yeah.
How about this one, Savage? Or Hoodie, how about yeah. this one? The Frozen Seven, the people that escaped and froze.
Okay.
You just happened to be in this classroom at this moment.
And we're going to talk. And oh, look, here they are, right off the window.
The classroom is the classroom is one of the worst things I've ever seen. They barge into a classroom, and you have a pregnant teacher. First off, right. Which I'm just like, come on. Right. And now they show a video, only half of it, by the way, just so you get the bits that you need to know about the guy that actually made the train. Right. So you get some little backstory. Right before you need to see the guys who tried to escape the car, and now they're frozen. Let's just pass them so conveniently.
The convenience has bothered me so bad.
And now let's pass some eggs through here, just all convenient. Well, like, oh, there's Uzis in the eggs? That's fantastic.
Maybe let's just go with this. Perfectly for
and,
that
and
that
really,
scene.
You can say that you forgive the story, which I don't mind the story. I thought the train, I was on board. That's fine. It's, no different than a rocket ship.
Yeah.
That's fine. But all these little conveniences just
they killed it.
They really were just like needles in me, and it just hurt so much to keep going through this whole movie.
And how about at the end, just
car for car?
Okay,
hurt
after
worse
18
worse.
Years, these guys should have their timing down pretty well.
Oh, Adam,
timing down pretty well, but it's not going to all pop up at the same time so that we can see them while they're in the revolt to stay in the school car, whatever. The teacher, I found her just crazy annoying with the piano, awesome the piano song thing where she was just spinning.
Rumble,
around.
Rumble, rattle, rattle. It will never die.
And yeah,
that she, song.
She's like, "What are you doing? What is this? This is how you answer this. This is how you decide to give us the information." That's the epitome of just lazy writing.
All right. Well, listen to Savage here. I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I want to talk some more about these scenes that you say are conveniences. I have, I think, 12 written down.
I just want to talk about actors that have been better than Chris Evans.
Or maybe, you know, maybe we'll come back and we'll talk about what we liked about the film because there are a couple things I thought were pretty good. I'd say it that way. But Savage, what do you have to say about this film? We're talking about Snowpiercer.
Yeah. It's like I said on the beginning of this. On its surface, is the type of film that I like. I like the dystopian things. I like the big things, the post-apocalyptic stuff. I understand what Hoodie's saying. I had a problem with Chris Evans because and it was more of his voice than anything. It's like he had the face for it, but every time his voice, it was just too clean, too... And,
okay.
And for somebody who's eating protein bars, he was pretty strapped.
I thought the same thing too, man.
Really?
He was pretty strapped.
It's like...
And there's plenty of reason to bash this film, the logic of it, the story of it, and you got to suspend all of your disbelief. But I'm picking up a theme. You've got to make sense within your own reality.
Yeah, it's like if you're watching 300, let's say for example,
love 300.
And all of a sudden there it shows them shopping in Kroger.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like something that ridiculous, even in their own world, would be ridiculous.
Okay, I got you.
But there is some beautiful camera work in this. There is some beautiful camera work.
Maybe.
It's visually, it's very appealing to me. I found it very visually appealing. I like the, I like beautiful things. Even if what you're showing me is dingy and dirty, I can find beauty in that. And I found a lot of beauty in this. I thought the camera work and the imagery was nice. Even when it didn't make sense, like the black-faced hatchet guys, it's like, how can they possibly see through this black mask that they're wearing?
It was pantyhose.
It wasn't pantyhose. It was just black. It was image. It was like they're trying to do imagery, and I know that's they're lifted from the graphic novel. You know, they're trying to create a claustrophobic image from the graphic novel, and that's what the train is claustrophobia. It's like you're trapped, but
there's nowhere
the
to go
medium
except
of film. They expanded it, and that bothered me a little bit. Where some seem bigger, some seem like okay, and they're in a train.
Yeah.
Now they're in like a huge train.
Yeah.
So that bothered me, but the imagery of it I really liked, and that's why I guess I went as high as I did, because the story is silly, but like Hoodie said, a train is no different than a spaceship. I mean, you're trapped, you know, the outside is death, inside is life, you know.
Yeah, it is, but most spaceships don't crash through a glacier and then show a scene of people in a disco.
No, but they hit asteroids and they bounce off. I mean, it's... It's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
That's what I'm saying. You're completely right.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a break here. Let's listen to a piece of this film. And we're going to talk probably about Tilda Swinton a bit, too. I think when people think about this movie, they think back on her. I mean, she was a big part of this one. So
she knows her place.
So it is. So it is. We listen to a piece of Snowpiercer. Come on back. Talk a bit more about it. Here you go.
Passengers, this is not you. This is disorder. This is size 10 chaos. This is death. In this locomotive we call home, there is one thing that between our warm hearts and the bitter cold. Clothing? Shields? No. Order. Order is the barrier that holds back the frozen death. We must all of us, on this train of life, remain in our allotted station. We must each of us occupy our preordained particular position. Would you wear a shoe on your head? Of course you wouldn't wear a shoe on your head. A shoe doesn't belong on your head. A shoe belongs on your foot. A hat belongs on your head. I am a hat. You are a shoe. I belong on the head. You belong on the foot. Yes? So it is.
The Q Filmcast, and that is Snowpiercer 2014, the film we're talking about. I keep saying that, 2013. My apologies, people. I've been on this train a long, long time. Yeah. You know, eating all those protein blocks kind of affects your memory a little bit. Adam, producer, the greatest producer. You went up there on a 7 on this one. So go ahead. Talk about something you like about this film.
Okay. My favorite scene, hands down, is the sauna car.
Yeah, the sauna. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That was amazing. I love that. Great action. I love the heavyset woman when he reaches in there. He switches her over. But that was absolutely the greatest scene of the entire movie. That, and also the second would probably be the shooting across the ravine in from car to car.
Oh, do I have a problem?
I thought that was really good.
Oh, tell me about it. But back to the sauna. I really enjoyed the fighting guy, the little guy with all the tattoos that was just, you know, killing everybody.
He was cool. He kind of hopped around, and he hopped around, hit that guy with a swing in the big block.
Yeah, but how does only one guy know kung fu on this whole train?
How do these guys actually learn to fight?
No, it's basically he knows kung fu, and he's a young kid. I'd say 17, maybe.
Something like that.
And nobody else does, so that bothered me. Yeah. And to the shooting thing, there was not enough time for them to make that much space between them to make that arc.
Here they are. It's on a train, on a wobbly track, and you're going to tell me you're going to make a shot 300 yards away right between the guy's eyes. Oh, I mean, time and time again. Nice shot there, pal. Moving. And you were impaled 20 minutes before.
There's no way to aim, too, because you're like a little hole that you just made using 19 of your 20 bullets.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just preposterous. And there wasn't even enough time for them to make that much space that they would see each other in the bend. Anyways.
You're doing logic. Can't do it. Do it.
No, you can't. You
can't do logic, but you have to have reason.
Exactly. You can suspend belief, but there's still you're making a world, but you still have to apply to the rules of that world.
Absolutely.
Right, and they're basically saying that we live in the same world as you. We're just different. And, I mean, taking that logic, I'm like, well, nope.
Yeah, don't matter what world you're in, you can't mess with physics, too.
That's exactly right.
Just because it's convenient. Let's talk about
Don't ever watch Wanted.
I won't. Well,
same difference.
Yeah, but they...
Kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah, I don't want to go down that path.
I'd rather watch one.
Because that actually bothered me, too. But at least they were like, we're going to mess with physics. Hold on.
Right.
Savage,
yeah.
Talk a bit about a scene or two. What you got?
Well, again, I like the visualness of it. And surprisingly, I like the lighting of things with the South Korean actor.
Yeah, it's crafty like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The lighting stuff.
I liked him. I liked that character a lot. You know, the Chrono. They kept reaching for that. I really liked that character and his kind of nonchalance about the whole deal. Mm-hmm. I thought he was probably one of the most believable ones of it.
I did too.
Tilda Swinton is like an extreme.
Yeah, let's talk about Tilda Swinton. What did you take from that?
If you want to take, I mean, it's obviously an allegory to, you know, the caste system and, you know, the bourgeois, the proletariat, all that stuff. And, you know, she's just the intermediary to that.
Yeah.
Where she's the one lording over it, but like the almost the overseer, where once the proletariat rises,
she was a sellout.
Well, you understand the weakness of your thing. You know, when the revolution happens, it's, you know, you're the middle person. So she was the first one to abdicate. But
was she too much for you in this film?
No, absolutely not. I liked it. I thought because again, you go into the surreal, like you said earlier, and I think she epitomized that better than anybody else.
Yeah.
She acted to that level.
I like Swinton. I mean, I do. I kind of liked her here enough, I guess. But
yeah. I think Ed Harris was the second one. He tried to elevate, but I don't think Chris Evans ever sold it. I think he was just being Chris Evans trying to emote. And I thought that ending monologue where you kind of realized his backstory, I was really moved by that. I bought that monologue where he was the guy who started the
whole thing.
Yeah.
But then it was perverted Like right after he says this really nice monologue where I was the guy with the knife and he came and he told me a better way.
Right.
And then it got perverted by him saying, oh, yeah, we're in cahoots, by the way, which is basically 1984 rewritten all over again. Yeah. So
kind of.
That was awful. It was. Yeah. It just really was awful.
I would have liked to have seen, go back to The Dark Knight Rises, mm-hmm. where you see this kid in the beginning and later on you find out, oh, that's the kid grown up.
Yeah.
I thought that could have been used here, maybe in the beginning.
That's a great idea.
See something that pushed him. Yeah. I wanted to see and sense his struggle a bit more as to why he's this guy,
yeah.
rather than have you just tell me about it. Right. So let's talk about how this thing ended, too, because I think a lot of people, when I went back and I read a lot of the fan stuff on here, it's like a real mixed feelings about the end. That seemed very convenient to me.
Convenient.
Okay, so you have this perfectly engineered train and you're going to stop it with your hand. You're going to stick your hand down in the gears. And all these people that you love, and everybody on the train's going to die except, ironically enough, the two people that shouldn't be dead.
Who happen to walk out of a train and see a hungry polar bear.
Yeah. See the polar bear.
Who have no survival skills whatsoever, by the way.
Right.
What you got? What you got?
I did not like that aspect of the movie. Did not like it.
Let me see if
bit.
I can remember. Is that what happened? He stuck his hand in the engine.
Stuck his hand in there to get the kid out.
Okay, of course.
And that first off, that gear would have completely chopped his arm off right away.
He just went, ow, hey.
And did you expect him to lose an arm at some point in this?
Yes.
I really did, too. I'm surprised that didn't happen. Like, his redemption was, like, losing his arm, like, giving his arm for the greater good. And that never really...
Yeah.
But really, though.
I guess that was his ultimate sacrifice. He lost his arm.
Yeah. Did you like the ending, Savage?
Yeah, because of the gear.
Well, you can't sit here and complain about convenience when the whole movie is convenient. I mean, every single plot point,
I'm complaining about the whole movie.
Fair enough. No, I mean, it's no more convenient than any other thing, you know, and it's no more explainable than any other thing, you know.
I don't know.
Take the protein thing, all right? That would have been the simplest thing to explain. That would have been, the food source would have been the very simplest thing to explain visually. All you'd have to do is show a bug running around in the train.
I thought it should have been something more like along the line of human waste or something.
I thought it was going to be people. I thought that's what they were grabbing the people for.
I'm glad they didn't cop out on that.
They kind of did at the end when he said that he had been eating people. They ate arms.
Soylent Green is eating people.
The Soylent Green is eating people.
You know, that scene, too, when they reveal and he gets up, ironically enough, I'll just look in this one. Oh, look! And he just happens to look in the...
It's millions of roaches.
Yeah, and it shows that camera zooming in on the roaches, and it's on this graphic loop where it's the same roach and the same roach.
Yeah.
It was really bad graphics.
The CG was really bad all throughout this thing. Even the train was really just bad.
Did you feel like you were just someone just videotaped an Xbox game somehow? It felt very video gamey to me.
It did. And it didn't.
Well, it is very video gamey. It's the linear conquest of spatial things. It's
kind of like Big Trouble in Little
exactly.
China.
Exactly.
Without the bosses.
Well, they did have the bosses. They had the little underboss with the black beard who got stabbed, and they had the blonde-headed guy, and then they ultimately had the big boss. They had the hatchet guys. I mean,
you just could not kill.
Right. Exactly.
Sauna guy.
Yeah, he kept coming back.
Sauna guy.
He kept
yellow.
Coming back.
What you call him.
Yeah. And you had to collect the chrono through the game, you know, to make the big bomb.
This would be the greatest video game ever. We should do this.
Yeah, no doubt it would.
As he's running through the sun, he's jumping up and being in the chrono.
You can have Frogger music in the background or Pitfall music.
Or hit it for a boost and run faster. You'd have to collect more.
Oh, that's funny.
That's when your alligator cart would come in handy.
Yeah, yeah. The old theme from Pitfall, like I have it in my head right now. Hey, producer, I have a few things I kind of liked about this film, though, and I want to talk about that real quickly. I liked when they captured Swinton. They put the shoe on her head.
Yeah.
They made her eat the protein bar. That's why I kind of sort of like Swinton in this.
Oh, but the
it was
convenience
just goofy,
of the
but...
sushi is like, it's only twice a year we eat this. You're the only ones here.
That.
How convenient. Thank you for adding another convenience. And
I'll have some of that sushi.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Had to have that. I also like how, for crying out loud, they walked through an aquarium with stingrays.
That was awesome.
I can liken this movie almost to Sunshine. Have you guys seen Sunshine?
Oh, yeah.
Where you have the rocket that's going to the sun to put the nuclear missiles into it to reignite it, which is just...
Cillian Murphy.
That just sounds stupid.
It just sounds stupid. It's a great movie. It is fantastic. I love that movie. Go figure. But you have the same thing. It's the same thing. One little piece of technology headed to its source, and little tidbits happen along the way.
Yeah.
They just went totally separate directions. And I love Sunshine, and I hate this movie. I'm going to a 5.
What did you think about the... you know, we go back to the fight scene. There is one... It was pretty well crafted. It went on a bit too long. It just once again, just kind of overstaged. And that's the fight scene. They come out, they gut a fish. What was that?
I didn't get that.
I think that there was poison in that fish, well, and they were putting on the blade, and they're that, and that's how I took it. Like a blowfish.
But it was just a carp.
No, because the eyes were in a weird spot. So it was a fish we've never seen before.
I sat there and thought, why? Okay. I don't get this.
They were dipping their blades in it.
Oh, were they doing that?
Yeah.
I didn't get the thing when Tilda Swinton took her teeth out. What was that?
I don't know. It was kind of cool, though.
I think a lot of it was just it was trying to pay homage to the graphic novel. And obviously, the fish thing is weird because why would you waste food?
It's not food. It's a poisonous fish.
Everything is food.
But even if you are, quote unquote, paying homage to the graphic novel, it still has to make sense. I've got to have a reason. Why did she do that?
I think we've established that this film does not make sense.
I don't think anybody cared about it. They did whatever they wanted to do with reckless abandon, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's come on back in a minute, talk about our top three scenes in a train. We're going to make it quick.
You ever been to the tail section? Do you have any idea what went on back there? When we boarded? It was chaos. Yeah, we didn't freeze to death, but we didn't have time to be thankful. Wilford's soldiers came and they took everything. It's 1,000 people in an iron box. No food, no water. After a month, we ate the week. You know what I hate about myself? I know what people taste like. I know that babies taste best.
So there it is, Snowpiercer 2013, Q Filmcast talking about that one. It's in the books here. Brings us to our top three. Every week it does.
It does.
Every week. About this time. Imagine that.
You know what? This train doesn't stop, Max.
No.
This Q train.
It can't.
Just keeps on trucking.
Would this be a QQ train?
Oh.
So stupid.
No. Not a hoo-hoo, a QQ. Come on.
QQ. No.
I tried so hard to resist that.
No. You couldn't help it.
No, we're talking about our top three scenes on a train, though, inspired by this film.
All right.
Producer, you know the routine. We go to you first because you queued it up.
Sure.
Scenes on a train. Do you have any?
Don't disappoint us.
Yeah, don't disappoint me. What you got?
Train crash scene from Super 8.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good scene.
It's not bad.
I didn't see it.
It's a three.
It's a three.
That's a pretty epic train
crash.
That's
good. I like that answer.
Let me pumping that scene up there. It's a three.
Did you like that film, Max?
Not particularly. It was okay.
Yeah. It didn't do what it wanted to.
Yeah. It didn't.
Yeah.
It was a good Spielberg homage.
It was definitely. It felt like a Spielberg film.
I thought it was a Spielberg film, is it not? I haven't seen it.
The J.J. Abrams.
Oh, he did? Yeah, really?
He has a Spielberg thing about him. You got to admit that.
No. Oh, the guy. Yeah. Totally. Loves Spielberg.
Well, this is a man here to my left who loves the Q Filmcast, and he loves to give his top three every week. And we're talking about train scenes tonight, Savage. Why don't you go? What is it?
We got As Is My Way. I have a little subgenre of this thing. I'm going with Superman, where he holds the train together.
Bridges the track.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
Yeah. Effortlessly. Roll on my back. I got this.
Is this the Spider-Man 1977?
Yeah, it might be.
79, 78?
Yeah, 79.
Oh, it's the original. Oh, of course. It's an iconic train scene. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And the superhero tie-in. Sure.
Totally becomes a part of the track.
He does.
That was awesome.
Wait, that's pretty stupid.
No, it was awesome. He's Superman. He can do
he
it.
Can do
the train
he
rolled
is
over
the man of
that's
steel.
Right.
Right.
Literally, the
wait a second. That's not necessarily a scene on a train, but I'll take it. That's
the
a
train
scene
is
about
on him.
Fantastic. I'll go with this. It just involves a train.
Yeah.
Hoodie, what do you have here? We're talking about.
Oh
top
wait,
three,
if it just involves a train, whoa! I got to redo my list.
You can. Well, okay.
You got to stay out of the porn.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Oh, never mind.
I caught that way early. Hoodie, number three for you. What is it?
My number three is very near and dear to my heart, and that's when I'm getting a little clipped. It's when Clementine and Joel meet for the first time.
They
go on a montage.
That is so
Montauk,
good.
Yeah.
That would be Eternal Sunshine.
That's Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah. That is a great scene.
That's a good scene. It's on a train, so I'll take it.
Playing Pete.
That's a three, Michael.
That's not your number one?
That's a three.
That's good. I like that. Playing peekaboo over the seats.
I love it.
You can flirt really good on a train, can't you?
Can't wait to hear your number one.
Number three, who have we gotten? Have you gone
Gumbo.
Next?
I haven't gone.
Oh, well, go. Number three. I'm sorry. I hopped around a bit. Go ahead.
Number three is the Omar Sharif fight on Top Secret.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Guy just stands up and just totally plows through the bridge.
I can't
you
recall
expect
it.
Him to just duck down and get knocked out by the bridge.
I can't recall. Oh, wait a second.
Oh, yeah.
Top oh, secret. My God.
All the sight gags.
I forgot about it, and you just reminded me of this scene.
Loved it.
That's funny. That's one that's actually that's a funny scene.
And man. They were literally on a train.
Yeah, that's good.
They were on top of a train.
Superman was under a train.
Well, but these guys were on a train.
That's not bad. Thanks for reminding me of that.
Love Top Secret.
Gosh, man, you regenerated an old memory. My number three, back to the schmaltzy, is I'm going to go with the guy who just wanted a drag, man. The ghost in the movie Ghost. The ghost of train guy.
The ghost of train guy.
Well, no, I'm saying... Listen, let me back. The movie Ghost.
Ghost. Right,
remember right. The train scene where he just wanted a drag, that real creepy looking guy,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're fighting. He's wrestling with Swayze on the train. They're sticking each other's heads through the walls. Is there? You don't remember the scene?
I know the scene you're talking about. Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Max, for jumping in after I begged you to. Don't you remember? And he teaches
him.
He teaches him how to kick the can.
Yeah,
and that's in number three.
He knocks over the cigarettes and he just wanted a drag.
I
man.
Know the scene.
Thank
I
you. Jeez. I had to go deep for that one.
That's a number three,
that's
though.
That's because it's a terrible pick.
It's a deep cut.
Well, when you think back
on that
film. We're
not just taking
film,
any trains here, Michael.
Listen, when you think back on that film, there's not a whole lot to like. I did like that scene.
We're not particularly talking about just Ghost.
Shut up. I'm going number two.
I'm stepping way over here.
Producer, number two on you. What is it?
Oh, the fight scene from Skyfall at the beginning.
Yeah,
it's good. Oh, that's a good
that's
one.
That's a good one.
That's crazy
a good,
good
scene.
That's a real good one.
Yeah. That's crazy good.
Yeah, it's a good
had
scene.
That on my list, especially when he gets to the bottom of the car and he fixes
his sleeves.
That is awesome. That is so James Bond.
Absolutely it is. And then it rips.
It is quintessential James Bond. We totally cut Adam off because he has nothing else to say about the scene.
I think if we did top three, if we did top three James Bond scenes, that could be up
oh,
there.
If you did top three James Bond train scenes, that would be on there.
Okay. Right.
There are so many James Bond train scenes. It's right. Crazy.
Yeah,
you could narrow it down for yeah. Sure.
The fight with Jaws almost made my list.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right, number two for you, James Hartsup Savage. Just go
yeah, Spider-Man. You know, with Superman and then Spider-Man fighting
nailed
Doc Octopus.
It.
Yeah, and he stops at the train and all that.
That's yeah, that was pretty good.
With his webs and his feet and he stops.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right. I like you have a theme here, and it's a superhero.
I do. Oh, maybe.
His number one's Batman.
It's going to be something.
That was Spider-Man 2, correct?
Right.
Yes, it was.
Doc Ock. Yeah.
What about you, Hoodie? What's your number two?
Trading Places.
Sure.
Oh, the gorilla?
One of my all-time favorites. Not the gorilla so much as them, like, all piling into the car and, like, I'm from Sweden.
Oh.
Sure, you're wearing lederhosen. That's hilarious.
I heard this all day, by the way.
Booga, 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 ha!
I may have to watch it. It's been a long time. But that is a great scene. I
love that movie.
That's one of my favorite parts of Training Places.
When
I
think
it.
About that film, I kind of zero in on that scene.
That's right, me yeah. Too.
Drunk Dan Aykroyd is my favorite part of that movie.
I'm going to zero in on Max Gumbo Johnson and ask Jamie him what his number Curtis. Two is. What is it?
Number two, the runaway train in The Jerk. When Steve
oh,
Martin, when the little kid,
oh,
the
so
little
good.
Kid
that's
took
so
away
good.
The train, and Steve Martin had to chase him down.
Oh my God,
on the little
that's
miniature
good.
Train.
What did his shirt say, Max?
I can't say. Bull shirt.
That's right, bull shirt. And his dog shirt head.
Bull shirt. Yep, the little miniature train in The Jerk.
You know, it's funny, we were just quoting that movie.
We do a lot of top threes, obviously, every week yeah. Here at the show. That is my all-time favorite answer for any top three. That is so
I think
good.
That might be mine. That's
that
so
is
good.
So good. My God.
I didn't know. I thought you would have come up with that.
I did not, sir.
Well, I appease you.
You know what my number two is? Not in the train, not on the train, just near the train. I'm talking about the Stand By Me scene, the train the train dodge.
Yeah. Train tracks.
That's a great
train dodge.
Yeah.
I mean, the train was a...
Train!
Yeah. I mean...
It's a good scene.
That scene, the train is a character, a monster in that train, yeah. Coming to roll you down, eat you up.
Yeah.
I like the train in that scene.
Yeah.
That's a great scene.
It is a great scene.
Going over to the producer, he's going to get on the number ones here.
Number ones.
He's going to lead off number one. You know the deal. You know the spiel. So what is it?
James Bond again. A fight scene with Robert Shaw and from Russia with Love.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's a good thing.
It's not as good as The Jerk.
Not as good as The Jerk.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should have made that my number one. I don't know if I can top it now. But yeah, Robert Shaw and James Bond.
Yeah, sure.
Quint versus James Bond.
Yeah, it was a Sean Connery Bond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Why wasn't there Jaws versus a shark?
That would have
been. I mean, a train.
Jaws versus the Oriental Express.
That's hysterical. Hard Sub Savage, yeah. What's your number one?
Well, I got a kind of a theme going on.
We know it's Batman.
No, actually, it's X-Men.
Look
no,
at that.
Because Batman had the train that was going to destroy the city with
it's
the thing.
It's X-Men Magneto coming and making Wolverine fly apart.
Batman killed that one. Nah, you want to go superhero? It's the Batman train.
No, X-Men.
With Gordon shooting the missiles from the Batman. Come on. It's like the whole ending.
I really thought you were going to go Batman. It's a better scene.
I was going to go Batman until he... I changed it.
See
I
that?
Changed it on the fly.
You know, you know what you did? You derailed his
he
number
did. Right, he derailed
did.
My number one.
That's right, I did.
It is Batman.
Yeah.
That's my number one is Batman.
Not bad, though. Let me see. Hoodie, it's up to you. Reveal your number one as I sit here in complete mystery.
Even if this scene didn't have a train involved, it'd still be one of my favorite scenes, and that's in Darjeeling Limited when they're... You haven't seen that film, Wes Anderson?
No, I haven't seen
that. All right, so his kids are running after the train at the end of the movie, and they're throwing away their baggage, and it's just a great scene. They're jumping on the train one at a time. I love that scene. It's great. The whole thing takes place on a train.
Right.
The entire movie's on a train.
But that's my favorite scene on a train.
The name of the train.
Yeah. Not bad. So. Good deal there. Max Gumbo Johnson, what's your number one?
I knew that was going to be Darjeeling Limited was going to come up in your list.
He's got to throw over to Wes Anderson, of course. What's yours?
Mine is hands down the greatest train scene. Greatest train movie ever is The General with Buster Keaton, 1927. This guy did things. It was made in 1927. You watch it today and your jaw drops. It's like, this guy really did this.
Yeah.
With a real train.
I would like to see this movie.
And
actually.
Another real train. It is incredible. It's fascinating to watch this guy do this.
Buster, he inspired a lot of people, man.
It's
a long time ago, Buster Keaton.
I saw it about a year ago. I was like, holy crap. This guy, so I can't believe this guy did
like lived, stunt work.
Lived until the 60s.
Was he wearing a shirt that said bull shirt on it?
He should have been.
That would have been funny.
He should have been.
And if he wasn't, why not?
I still like the jerk. I still like the
I'm
jerk.
Sorry.
That guy did something on a little train that no one ever did.
He didn't
Max.
Just do something. He saved a life.
He saved a life. What did Buster
child.
Keaton do? What did Buster Keaton do?
He saved the army.
He didn't find a lost child.
Oh, did he get the girl, though?
Okay, do you want me to swap him?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, nope. Swap him.
Okay,
swap
nope. Him. The jerk is number one, general's number two.
There you go.
Sorry,
thank you very much.
That's not my true feelings. General's number one.
All right, let me get through this real quick. My number one, obviously you nailed it earlier. That is the time when true love could exist between Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy and Delpy, I meant.
Delpy. Hey, Adam.
Julie Delpy. Yeah, I'm struggling. Before sunrise, Max, not... quarter past midnight or whatever the hell you said.
I don't know
earlier.
Before called sunset.
Yeah, he said before sunset.
Right. I don't know.
Before sunrise. I love that scene. I love that movie. But to me, that is just fantastic.
I just want you to shut up about it.
But you like the trilogy, right?
I love the whole thing. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's before sunset, before sunrise,
before midnight. They're all great films. Right. Really, really good films.
Yeah.
I wish they'd put them on Netflix.
They played the whole trilogy at the Belcourt not too long ago.
Well, I didn't get
to
go.
Back to back?
That's, it would have been a long sit, but I like the book.
To use the Adam excuse, I didn't have time.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get into this real quick. I put this out on Twitter, as I always do. Check this out. Listen to what came back here. Bored Stormtrooper at...
We like him.
OXTK421. Trading Places, The Brain, Breakheart Pass from Russia with Love. G. Lang... Ridho at underscore Ridho, Transporter 3, Amazing Spider-Man, Batman, Captain America.
Transporter.
Jeremy Blitz at Jeremy Blitz says, All of Creep with Frank Paletta. What is All of Creep?
Don't know.
You're on your own there, Jeremy. The World of Ron at David on the Wire says, Under Siege 2, Runaway Train.
Yeah, Runaway Train.
Broken Arrow and Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Runaway Train was awesome.
We could have done train wrecks of a movie.
Well, we didn't. So.
Okay.
We just did.
Let's get on to next week's reveal. Is it Hard Sub Savage?
Yeah, that's me.
Hard Sub Savage.
So hard. So sub. So savage.
So savage.
Yeah.
What you got for us next week, Hard Sub?
I think we're going to... I'm gonna lift a page out of Hoodie's thing. We're going to do a documentary.
Ooh, we need to. We haven't done one in a while.
I think we're going to watch Kumare.
Kumare.
Kumare. Oh, Kumare. Oh.
I hate this. Stop, please.
What in the world are y'all doing?
I gave you guys about 20 seconds too much of 20 seconds of that, okay?
Kumare.
That's next week's.
I loved it.
That's next week's film.
Yes.
Documentary about the guy who poses as a guru.
A guru. It's
a
sociologic experiment.
It looks good, actually.
It was
that
good.
He filmed.
Okay.
So
I've seen
documentary.
It.
Okay. Well, look forward to that. That was this, Snowpiercer 2013. If you want to leave your thoughts on this film, you know where you go, thecufilmcast.net. But that's next week. We're talking about Kumare. Shut up. No more singing. So that's next week. Going to cue it, going to review it. That's where this one ends, guys, and we'll see you next week. The weather outside is frightful.